Support for Deemable Tech is provided by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting. On the web at asmallorange.com. From WJCT Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And this is Deemable Tech, technology worth talking about. We're here to make technology simple, easy, and approachable for you.
Got a question about your computer, smartphone, tablet, or the internet? Give us a call at 904-372-DEEM. That's 904-372-3336. Or you can send us an email at questions@deemable.com.
Well, it is good to be back in the studio.
Yeah, it's really good to have you, Ray.
Thank you so much for holding down the fort while I was, well, holding down my bed. I got a hold of a cold that just knocked me for a loop, and I just decided to spend my whole birthday weekend asleep in bed under a blanket.
Man, that's rough.
So, but it was fun, you hosting the show for the first time. It was really cool. I enjoyed listening to the show after you guys were done with it.
Thank you.
And it was great. You guys did a fantastic job. Don't take my job. So there was one thing, though. When I was listening, I agreed with everything you said, except for one thing.
Well, I'm open to constructive criticism.
All right. Well, it was about the Twitter question from Annie.
Okay.
She had written, "I don't understand Twitter. I ignored it as a fad that would pass, but now it's hashtag everything, and it's even influencing how people name their kids. What does it mean, and is it worth getting involved in?"
Yeah, I guess Kristen and I were maybe a little down on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the hashtag Jameson kid, poor child. That's horrible.
Don't do that, parents. I don't know that.
And I agreed with what Kristen said, that, you know, they didn't even do it right. It should have been hashtag baby, mm-hmm. or, you know, not the name hashtag. That was kind of stupid. But no offense if hashtag Jameson's mom is listening. Actually, yeah. I want to offend you. That was really dumb.
Hashtag Jameson's mom, if you are listening, call us. We want to hear from you.
It's time to change your kid's name if it's legal. If it's not legal, don't do it. Okay. So anyways, that's my rant on that. But I disagree. You said that, you know, Twitter is something that, and I was on cold medicine when I listened to the show, so forgive me if I get this wrong. But you were saying, you know, it's not something that's really important. You can definitely go on without it. And, well, yes, of course you can go on without it. I do think that Twitter is a very influential social media, perhaps in a different way than Facebook is. With Facebook, as we've seen this past week, with all the news that's been on Facebook about what happened in Connecticut, mm-hmm. People go to Facebook to express what they're feeling, sometimes before they even think about what that means.
Oh, that's
true. They say stupid things. And honestly, people on both sides of the political spectrum, again, have driven me insane over the past few days.
Mm-hmm.
So Facebook is more of that, like, gut emotion expression. Mm-hmm. Whereas Twitter, because it's more one way, it's not as much of a conversation as it is blasting out a short burst of what you're thinking or what you want to say. I think that people are almost a little bit more thoughtful or intentional about what they say on Twitter. Now, I agree that there's certainly some ridiculous stuff on Twitter. People post things on Twitter that they don't need to,
mm-hmm. Overshare.
Like Kristen mentioned last week.
And we'll just leave it at that. Go back and listen to the episode if you want to.
Listen to last week's episode if you wanted to find out what Kristen said on that. Which, Kristen, if you're listening, that was hilarious.
We love you.
Yes, and thank you so much also for filling in. That was really helpful. Twitter users, they do also, you know, randomly spout out random stuff. But I think that, especially for the media, it's really, really powerful. The journalists that are on the scene when things happen, mm-hmm. they all hit Twitter first. So between, you know, like which gets the news first, Twitter usually is first.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're also, like I said, they're just more intentional about it. But then again, too, Twitter's had its share of scandals with, you know, people accidentally posting on the company page instead of their personal page.
Or, mm-hmm. Private messaging versus actual tweets.
Yeah.
Took down that, was it a senator?
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, I think that Twitter may end up being a fad. So it wouldn't surprise me if in 5 years we're like, oh gosh, remember Twitter? Just like MySpace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is a cultural, it has cultural significance now. And that may continue in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It is just entirely different than Facebook and how Facebook is that conversation. Twitter is more like a bulletin board where everybody's looking at it and some people post things on there, but everyone doesn't. So I like to follow Twitter or get on Twitter just to see a general consensus of what's happening around the world, whereas Facebook is more, these are my friends who some of them I agree with and some of them I don't. And that's what they feel about the issues. So it gives me a more of a world perspective.
Global view.
Yeah. So that was just my thought on it. I felt that you dismissed it too quickly. Hmm. And it was not as quickly dismissed. But then again, too, it may be a fad that goes away in 5 years. And we or less time than that. But we'll see. So that was all I had to say about that.
Oh, that's great, Ray.
So are you even paying attention?
You
keep playing with your phone over there.
What?
Stop playing with your phone.
Oh, sorry. So, you know, I have the Samsung Galaxy S3 on Verizon, which I love.
Right.
And just today, we finally got the update to Jelly Bean.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. So that's Android 4.1, right?
That's right. I had version 4, which is ice cream sandwich in the Android nomenclature.
Yeah, they always name it after desserts.
Yeah.
When you told me that you had Jelly Bean on your phone, I had this moment where I thought you said you had jelly on your phone. I was like, oh, how are you going to get that out?
it's very sticky. Jelly Bean is the new version. It brings a lot of minor incremental improvements, which, of course, some of them I think are really nice. But the big thing on this update is Google Now.
Yeah, and Google Now, I mean, the easiest way to explain it is it's kind of like Siri for Android, right?
Sort of. One of the major differentiations is that Google Now makes no pretense at having a personality. It doesn't really talk back to you that much.
Right.
And the other major thing
Whereas Siri is like a Pixar character.
Yeah,
with more
yeah.
attitude and personality.
The other big thing is that one of the ideas with Google Now is that it's supposed to volunteer information that will be useful to you before you even ask.
Yeah, that was one of the things during the Google I/O conference that I actually really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's ever going to come to iPhone, but if it does, I'll mm-hmm. jump all over that.
So, I've just been really kind of playing with Google Now a lot and getting to know it. It does some cool things. You know, here, let me give you an example.
Sorry, I was laughing. That was inappropriate sounding, what I just said.
I missed it entirely.
We'll just chat this part out.
Okay.
Oh, no. The best part about doing it just for the podcast is we can just keep rolling.
That's right. Anything can happen. Anything can happen, folks.
Yeah, this is one of, we didn't mention it before, but this is one of our mini episodes that we're doing for the holiday season. We're not
right.
doing this on the special programs clock for radio. We're just having fun.
That's right.
So it's going to be a little bit shorter.
So hopefully you guys are having fun too. But yeah. So let me give you an example of what I can do with Google Now.
Mm-hmm.
What is the weather like right now?
It's 62 degrees and mostly cloudy in Jacksonville.
So that's pretty yeah. straightforward. You can do that with Siri. Here's another.
Go ahead.
Send a text to Ray Hollister that says, "What's up?" Oh, see, that one didn't work. Oh, okay. And so, there you are.
You just had to pick which one.
Yeah, send message. So let's see if you get that text. It's like, and also do that to make a phone call to you.
Your transcription is actually happening on the phone, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's not sending it off to the server Siri.
It doesn't have to.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know if there's an advantage or whatever, but yeah, it does have some basic abilities to do transcription.
Because I see like but it's doing it in real time, not mm-hmm. Sending it and then getting
and that's a
back.
Big thing you'll notice with Google Now is it's just fast. Yeah. I mean, when it's wrong, it's fast, and when it's right, it's fast.
Yeah.
You know, it also it displays these cards when you go into it. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of things. For instance, it's popped up that it's my friend's birthday right there. It's
oh,
also
nice.
Volunteered that it's 14 minutes to home right now, given the traffic conditions,
huh.
Which is something I didn't even have to ask it for. It thinks I should see The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. It doesn't know I've already seen it, but it was smart enough to realize I would want to.
Maybe it thinks that you should watch it again.
I think I probably should.
It's that smart. It knows you that well already.
Yeah. You know, and it can do a lot of different things. In fact, try this one on for size. Show me pictures of Ray Hollister. Snap.
Wow. Out of the 16 pictures, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 of them are of me. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that I know who they are. It's another, my doppelganger, the other Ray Hollister.
The other Ray.
And one is another Ray Hollister that's actually related to me.
Oh, interesting.
Met him recently. That's interesting.
Yeah, and this one picture.
I got a text message that says, Holster, that says what's up.
Close enough, okay?
That's interesting.
But it's a really great feature, yeah. And I just couldn't stop playing with it, so I apologize
now,
for that.
Some of the things, I forgive you. Some of the things Siri can do, like I think she can do weather. Yeah, she can do weather.
Sure.
What's the weather like?
Okay, here's the weather through Thursday.
What I liked about yours, though, is it actually read it. And, and this just shows, okay, well, it's 63 degrees, and here's what's going to be through Thursday. So that's cool, but I like that it reads it. Also, I like the commute time stuff. Mm-hmm. That stuff where it's like predicting what you need. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
And the idea is, again, I've just had this one day, but the idea is it sort of collects information on
right.
it. Now, that could be good or bad, yeah, depending on your perspective, because there's people who think that, you know, Google already has enough information on them.
Yeah.
And Google Now is certainly taking this up to the next level. I'm okay with it because I just want to see what it can do.
Sure.
But, you know, it's something to be aware of if you're really, you know, oh, I want to try Google Now. Be aware that it's going to, you know all about you by the time it's done.
Yeah, that's true. I've never understood the people who are really privacy, you know, crazy. I'm sorry if you are. I just have never understood that because if the data is being used in a way that makes my life easier, more convenient, and more efficient, I love it. I just love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we've talked about before, people get upset about advertisers who are using their information to target ads at them. Advertisers, listen to me. Target your ads at me. I want targeted ads. I want to see ads for things I want to buy, not for feminine hygiene products.
Oh, God.
Not for hair care. Well, actually, for me, hair care products are good. but, you know, for things that I want, I don't want a commercial for a luxury car. I'm never going to buy one. I don't like luxury cars. You know, send me a mid-level car, maybe a sports car. I like those.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you taking notes?
Are you taking notes, marketers?
So, yeah, I mean, I love targeted ads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why people don't like targeted ads.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy seeing ads that are just blasted at everyone? I don't get that. But, I mean, privacy, I understand. People, you know, they want their privacy, and I respect them for that.
Yeah. So I'm just saying if that's a concern for someone, then they might need to steer clear of Google Now.
You trade off of potentially getting things from Google that can make your life easier and more efficient and, you know, allow you to enjoy more. And it's your choice. That's a trade-off you pay.
Yeah.
You know, give them some information that they can sell to advertisers and you get a benefit out of it or don't. That's fine.
Yeah, and they're upfront about it. It's not a hidden thing. When you load it up, it's like, you know, this will look at your email and other things, and it tells you.
Yep. All right, well, let's answer some questions.
Oh,
we got one. Here? We do. That's what we do on this show. We answer people's questions that are sent in to us by email at questions@demable.com.
That's right.
Or by voicemail at 904-372-3336. Got that number? Call us. Leave us a voicemail. And we'll answer your question. So we got an email from Lance. Can you grab that, Tom?
Yeah. Lance writes,
I'm glad because if you didn't grab it, there's no one else to grab it.
Sean.
Sean could grab it, yeah.
I manage about 8 different email addresses, and I love the mail app on my iPhone to view all of them in one unified mailbox. I would like to have something similar on my laptop. I have a few Gmail accounts and a few GoDaddy email accounts, so I have to log into each one individually, check them, and answer emails. I know I could install a program like Outlook or Thunderbird to manage the email accounts, but I really want to have something on the web. Is there a web app that will do that for me where I can log in once and see all my email accounts in one place?
Oh, well, thanks for your email, Lance. To answer your question, yes, there is. Well, sorta. Actually, well, maybe. You know what? Honestly, no, there really isn't.
Okay, it sounds like you don't want to commit to an answer here, Ray. Come on.
Well, Tom, the thing is, there is a way to set up your Gmail account to where you can receive email from other accounts.
Okay.
And you can set it up to where you can send emails as your other accounts.
Sure.
But it's really complicated. I mean, as tech savvy as we are, I've not enjoyed the experience trying to do it myself. And when you finally have it all set up, it doesn't even really work the way that you might want it to. Now, for me, I know what you're talking about. I like how in the Mail app on my iPhone and on Sparrow, the Sparrow app, the iOS app that Google recently bought, you can look at all of your emails at once, or you can look at each individual inbox separately. And when you're writing an email, you can choose between which account you're sending it from.
Nice.
Now, if you set up all of your email accounts to either forward to Gmail or you go in and set up your Gmail account so that it accesses the other email accounts, you almost get the same experience. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, though, it is not the same. If you send an email as the other account, you won't find a copy of it in that email's sent folder, and you can't organize the emails in separate folders on those separate accounts. You're basically just shoving it all into one inbox.
Huh.
So it's not exactly the same. Now, there's also another thing. Although you can set up an alias where you send it from this account as if you're sending it from that account.
Okay.
On the receiving end, especially if you have like Outlook or Thunderbird, whoever is receiving your email, which most professionals, you know, use Outlook or maybe Thunderbird.
Right.
It just really looks unprofessional. And let me explain. Give you an example. Tom, if you were to set up your personal Gmail account, and so you could send your tombrown@deemable.com
mm-hmm.
emails, and let's say you set that up and you sent me an email, I would get an email that says from you that says it's from tommyb@gmail.com on behalf of tombrown@deemable.com. So it doesn't say tombrown@deemable.com.
Yeah.
It says tommyb@gmail.com on behalf of tombrown@deemable.com. And I just made that email address up. So please don't send tommyb@gmail.com a whole bunch of email. They won't be fans of our show.
That's right.
Whoever tommyb@gmail is.
We love you, man.
So the best way that I personally have found to manage multiple Gmail accounts online is just to use Gmail's multiple sign-in feature. Basically, you just go and click on your image on the page, and you'll see where it says sign in to another account. Boom, you go and sign in, and then you can look at the other email accounts as well. Hmm. Or if you're using Chrome, you can add multiple users. So that's another way you can do it. You still don't get that unified inbox that you really want, and that's what I really want too, but you can fairly easily view multiple email accounts at once. So while there are ways to sort of do like what you're describing, there's no real way that I know of at this time where you can really do it. But we will include a link in the show notes to an article by Make Use Of that explains in detail the four different ways that you can use Gmail to manage multiple accounts from one Gmail account. And, you know, you can try them. And if you like them, that's great. But like I said, in my experience, I wasn't too fond of them, and none of them really did what I was looking for. But audience, if you know of a web app that will do this, that will set up a unified inbox, but still let you send email from individual accounts, let us know. Post a comment in the show notes on our website for this episode.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because we don't know everything.
We don't. We don't?
No, we don't.
Oh. Okay, then they should definitely leave a comment.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this is all about, building a community.
That's right.
So leave us a comment. You know, if you know of something, well, I'll try it out.
All right. Well, it looks like we've got an email from Brooke. Do you want to read that, Ray?
Sure. I want to drink some water first. My throat hurts.
Okay. Oh, no. I hope that cold's not coming back.
No, I just talked too much in that last question.
Okay.
Really? All right. Brooke writes, is there some place in Jacksonville where I can take a weekend workshop or a class or seminar to answer all my questions on the new tablets? Before I spend $500 to $700, I want to understand the difference between Windows 8 and Android operating systems. What is all that bizarre language that is spit out at Best Buy and on YouTube about 32G and processors and all the letters and numbers that are supposed to enlighten and impress me, but simply confuse me.
Mm.
Can I use my Word and WordPerfect documents on the Polaris Office system that I have seen on the Asus Infinity? I'm a writer, and I'm not interested in buying one of these things for the constant entertainment features they promote. I have never played a computer slash video game in my life, and I don't care to do so. Oh, okay.
Okay, so basically it sounds like Brooke is a non-technical person.
Right, for, you know, most of us.
Right,
like
sure.
The rest of us.
And she's a writer, and what she needs is a device or computer that will meet that need to write.
Right, it sounds like she's interested in the Asus Infinity Transformer. For those who haven't seen it, that's sort of a hybrid laptop tablet. That's the one that you can actually take it apart, right?
Yeah, the keyboard, I think, comes off, and you could just have it as a tablet, or you reattach the keyboard, and it's more like a laptop.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them, and I'm not invested in the Android ecosphere.
Uh-huh.
But I did like the idea that you could do it.
The reviews, I don't own one. I did parse through a couple reviews on this, and they're kind of middling. But honestly, in general, even if the reviews were great, I don't think I would recommend a hybrid or a tablet for someone who's primarily interested in word processing.
That's true.
Brooke needs a full keyboard.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course, you can always get a Bluetooth keyboard.
That's true.
It's going to run you an extra $50 to $100 usually.
Mm-hmm.
With my iPad, I use the keyboard. I use Apple Pages, and I use Google Drive now.
Yeah.
And I use a full keyboard with that, and it's a good experience.
Okay.
But honestly, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, if you're looking at this for being primary for writing, I would definitely get something with a full keyboard. That's built in.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're thinking of a tablet because of mobility.
Yeah, possibly.
And if that is the reason why, I would focus on what's called a Chromebook. A Chromebook is basically a small, thin laptop with a full-size keyboard, or at least, you know, it'll be a little compact, but not too compact.
It'll be a laptop-size keyboard.
Yeah, laptop-size keyboard. Yeah, you're right. It runs Google's Chrome operating system, which is very, very sparse. It basically is just a web browser.
Mm-hmm.
And that might sound intimidating. You're going to ask, well, how can I run Word? How can I run WordPerfect? Everything that you do as a writer, almost everything is going to be available in Google Drive.
Yeah.
Which is all web-based. It's all on the website, on the internet.
And Google Drive, she mentioned Word. And WordPerfect, I know for a fact, we do it all the time, Google Drive can process Word files and spit them back out as well. WordPerfect, do we know?
Yeah, I looked that up before the show, and it does convert WordPerfect files as well.
So there you go. And it also does Adobe Acrobat and various other formats.
Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint. You can do just about
any kind of document.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're doing crazy spreadsheets, you know, with macros and that kind of thing, then you might, you know, you definitely need a desktop operating system. But the limitations that tablets have is the same or similar to the same limitations that Chrome has.
Yeah.
But Chrome works better for what you want to do.
Yeah.
In your case, Brooke.
Just content creation.
You know, but if you were thinking, oh, I want this as a, you know, to watch videos on or to play games or, you know, to, you know, browse social media while you're watching TV, then I'd say, yeah, a tablet's what you want. That's what you want to get. But if your primary reason for getting it is you want to do word processing, I would get a Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick them up for $200 to $250 for really good, solid hardware.
Yeah.
They do the job. They're easy to use. Literally, you open the box and take the device out and sign into Gmail. You're done. It's set up.
Let's get tacos.
Let's get tacos, like the commercial says. So not trying to be a commercial for Google's Chrome, but they are fantastic. Samsung makes them. Asus makes them.
Acer
makes them, yeah. They're all relatively the same. They don't have the fastest processors out there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have huge hard drives. I think the Samsung has a 16 gig.
Mm-hmm.
The Asus has a fairly large hard drive.
Right.
Whereas the Samsung has flash drive.
Yeah, we're talking numbers now.
That's true.
To put that in the what we're saying here, and probably what the people at Best Buy were talking to you about, Brooke, you know, 32 gigs That's the space you have to save files, to store right. stuff.
The more, okay, there's two gigs that you're going to see. One is the RAM, which is the memory,
right?
Which means how much stuff you can do at one time.
Mm-hmm.
The other is the hard drive or the storage, and that's how much you can store, like yeah. a filing cabinet. I used this illustration
yes.
before. The RAM is like your desk. The bigger desk you have, the more stuff you can do at one time. The storage or the hard drive space is how much you can store, like a filing cabinet.
Right.
You can have a whole bunch of stuff in your filing cabinet, but if you got a really small desk, you can only do a little bit at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
And vice versa. You can have a really big desk, but have a small filing cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two times you'll see the gigs. As far as processors are concerned, actually most of the tablets on the market are relatively the same. They're not huge.
They're in the ballpark.
They're not huge differences in processors. The higher number of the processor is, the faster it's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see a difference there. Mostly what, as a writer, I mean, that's mostly what you're doing. You'll see some lag on a slower processor. Lag is when it slows down and doesn't update quickly. So I think the biggest thing you'll see is when you open a document.
Yeah.
That'll be the longest.
Might take a moment
lag,
or
yeah.
two extra.
Whereas if you get a newer, faster processor, that'll happen quicker. And that's, you know, not a big deal. If all you're doing is word processing, you won't notice a difference that
mm-hmm,
much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after you've had it for a while, that's when you tend to start noticing it. And it gets irritating when you're trying to switch pages and it takes a long time. But honestly, like I said, I would stick to a Chromebook.
Mm-hmm. Now, just off the top of your head, are you aware of anything that she's talking about? She asked about a class or seminar to answer questions.
I'm glad you went back to that. Yes, there are... there are classes here in Jacksonville you can take. Actually, one of our guest hosts from the past, Elizabeth Pampalone.
That's right.
She teaches out continuing education classes out at UNF, University of North Florida. If you go to their website, unf.edu, you can see their continuing education courses. And there are some courses that are given there for iOS, iPad, Android tablets.
Mm-hmm.
Making you familiar with
yeah.
those.
And I know if you have an Apple product, there's seminars available to you
yes,
free.
Yes, that's true. I didn't want to push you in the Apple direction because you mentioned Windows 8 and Android. But when you buy an iPad, or actually you don't even have to buy the product. You can just go to the classes.
Mm-hmm.
They constantly give classes on intro level stuff. For iOS, the operating system that iPad runs on. Also, they do classes on Apple Pages,
mm-hmm.
Which is the Apple version of Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
Also, the rumor has it that Microsoft is going to be releasing Word for iOS.
Really?
So you can use Word documents on iPad, but there's supposedly it's coming to iPad eventually.
Yeah, cool.
So now, as far as Windows 8, just to talk about that for just a second.
Sure.
Windows 8 RT, which is the tablet version of Windows 8, it is limited.
Mm-hmm.
It does a little bit less than the desktop version does.
Yeah. Now, it does have the full Office suite.
Right, and it comes with the full Office suite,
mm-hmm.
whereas Android devices don't.
Right.
And Apple devices don't come with an equivalent software. You have to buy that extra. It's like $9.99 for Apple's Pages.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the Android software runs about the same price.
Yeah.
They're all compatible. Almost all of them work together. So it's not like in the 90s where you had to make sure that it was compatible.
Mm-hmm.
They all work together now.
Yeah. You know, I would just, if I was Brooke, you know, go to Best Buy and start playing around with them. And if Windows 8 feels nice to you, go with Windows 8. If
sure.
Android feels nice to you, go with Android. Android's probably going to be cheapest, I will say that.
Probably, yeah. I mean, of all three options, like a Windows 8 tablet or an Android tablet or an iOS tablet or
mm-hmm.
a Chromebook, Chromebooks are probably going to be the cheapest of all.
Well, that's true.
Because they're $200 and $250.
Yeah.
But if for some reason you don't like it or you do want a tablet for some other reason that we didn't discuss, you know, just play with them. Like myself personally, I've tried Windows 8. I really liked the concept of it. I loved it, but it actually makes me physically nauseous when I use it, which
Come
is
on.
A motion.
That's a little bit of hyperbole there, right?
No, it really does. Like I actually get sick to my stomach.
Oh, Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that on the show someday. But and I like iOS, but I do like Android as well. So, mm-hmm. Play with them.
See what works for you.
Don't be intimidated. Feel free. Always you can ask questions of the guys at Best Buy. Mm-hmm. And usually they're pretty good at answering them. So
yeah.
Hopefully we helped you with your question. Like I said, if I would stick with the Chromebook. That would be my suggestion.
And I concur.
Yeah. And if not, whatever you do, if you do get a tablet and you're primarily planning on using it for writing, get a nice full-size Bluetooth keyboard.
Yes.
Like the one that Apple makes. Mm-hmm. Microsoft also has one. There's one by Linksys. All of them work on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can get one that says it's for Windows 8, and I'm almost certain it's going to work on the iPad or Android devices
right.
as well.
Because Bluetooth is a universal standard.
Yeah. Very rarely will you see... wireless keyboards is different.
Mm-hmm.
Those have little USBs that you have to plug into them. Most of them will not work with tablets. So Bluetooth, good. USB wireless, not good for tablets.
Okay.
Well, let's see. Our next question is from Tom Braun. Tom writes... Wait, Tom, did you write this?
Hey, sometimes hosts have questions, too.
Okay.
You just said we don't know everything.
That's true. We don't know everything. Well, why don't you just tell us what problem you're having?
Okay. Well, I use Google Chrome for my browser. I love it. It's fast. It syncs between all my computers. It runs every website well. I really like it. It's just great, but...
But what?
Well, lately I will be browsing the web, and at random, a message will pop up, and at the top of the page, it's sort of this yellow bar, and it says... The following plugin has crashed, Shockwave Flash. And at that point, basically all the web pages stop working correctly, and my only recourse is to shut down Chrome and reopen it. It's not the end of the world because it remembers what tabs you're on and stuff, but it's a pain because it happens, it can happen as often as like once an hour when I'm at work.
Okay. So let's see. Well, take a deep breath. It's going to be all right. All right, so here's what's going on. Other browsers like Internet Explorer, Firefox, and Safari use Flash like Chrome does,
right?
But with a key difference. They use the normal external Flash or installation of Flash. You go to the Adobe Flash website and you download it, like we've always done for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets used by all of the browsers on your computer except Chrome.
Chrome doesn't use normal Flash?
Well, it's not supposed to. Chrome actually has its own internal version of Flash, which it updates automatically. But the thing that can happen is what it sounds like it's happening in your case is that sometimes Chrome gets confused and tries to use both its internal version of Flash and the external version of Flash as well.
Oh. Okay, well, is there a way that I can tell if that's what's going on with my version of Chrome?
Yeah, you got Chrome pulled up there.
I do.
Okay, up in the text bar where you type the website addresses, that big white bar,
uh-huh.
Type in about:plugins.
About:plugins.
Okay. The colon sign, not C-O-L-O-N.
Yeah.
And no spaces, and then hit enter.
Okay. It's brought up a list of plugins.
Okay. Find the one for Adobe Flash.
I found it.
Okay. Does it say files and a 2 in parentheses anywhere in the description?
Yes, it does.
Okay. That means that your Chrome has two different versions of Flash that it's trying to use, which is just like I expected. Now, we need to disable one of them.
Okay. Yeah?
In the upper right-hand corner of your browser, you should see a small plus sign.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Click that.
Okay. And now it's showing two different sections under Macromedia Flash.
Okay. Let's disable Chrome's internal version of Flash. That's going to be the one that has Chrome listed somewhere in that long location string.
Okay, that's the top one for me.
All right, just click the disable link underneath that.
And done.
Okay, now shut down Chrome and reopen it. And that should hopefully fix your problem.
Ah, sweet. Thanks, Ray.
Okay, one more thing, though, that you got to know. You just told Chrome to use the external version of Flash, so now it's your responsibility to keep it updated.
Okay.
Now, fortunately, Flash will periodically give that annoying pop-up and tell you that there's a new version. If you get that, click yes, download it, and install it, and then Chrome will be updated.
Okay, not a big problem. That was great advice, Ray.
Hey, I do what I can do to help. But actually, I found the answer on a website called howtogeek.com. which we will link in the show notes. The great thing about the internet is that whenever a problem you've had, someone else has already had it.
Too true.
Yep.
Ray, if you're like me, you have cloud.
I do have cloud, Tom, and I love my cloud.
Me too, and I have lots of cloud. But do you ever find yourself wondering, how do I search on my cloud?
Boy, do I. I have so much cloud, sometimes I just get lost in it.
Well, do I have a solution for you, Ray? Cloud Magic. Cloud Magic will revolutionize the way you do cloud.
But Tom, how can Cloud Magic make my cloud more searchy? And wouldn't that cost lots of money?
Well, Ray...
Tom, why are we talking like this? We sound like we're trapped in a 1950s infomercial or something.
Sorry, Ray. People just, they throw the word cloud around so much. You know, every time I start talking about it, I just seem to drift off into a magical land of marketing buzzwords.
Tom, come on back.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, Ray, you and I, and hopefully all our listeners, know that the cloud is just a handy way to refer to things like Google Drive, Dropbox, Microsoft SkyDrive, and online email. Basically any place where you store your stuff out on the interwebs instead of physically on your computer.
Right. Basically, the cloud is just servers. It's something we've actually used for years, like with the web. We have servers that host the files that are on the web. And this is just making more server space available for people.
For individuals. Yeah.
So which we're sharing, or companies are sharing their computers with us for us to store our stuff on them.
Exactly. And I'm a pretty heavy user of some of those programs, such as Google Drive, and I also like Dropbox a lot. They're great, but it does introduce a problem. It used to be that when I couldn't remember where I put a file or a document or, you know, what document did I store that in?
Right.
I would do a Windows search.
Or where's the floppy drive that you, or the floppy disk
yeah,
you stored that on?
Yeah, the floppy disk? Wow, that's
or
way back.
Or the super disk. Disk.
Yeah, I would just do a Windows search.
Sure.
But now it could also be on my Google Drive or Dropbox, and then I have to go in and search them separately if I'm looking for a document.
Yeah, that can be really frustrating because, I mean, I'll create a document locally on my iPhone, and then I'll think that I'll have put it on the Google Drive, and I'm like, oh, where is it? And I got to look somewhere else. No, I actually put it in my Dropbox.
Yeah, exactly. That's happened to me several times, and that's maybe not a problem everybody has, but, you know, if you do use these programs, you can run into this.
Yeah, so not getting back into the infomercial voiceovers, yeah. but so how does Cloud Magic make that any better?
Okay, so basically it's an app that you can hook up to any of these services and more, and it will then search them all simultaneously.
Oh, okay.
So, for instance, I've hooked it up to my Gmail account, Google Drive, and Dropbox. Mm-hmm. So when I search for Deemable, it brings up a list of Gmail messages with that word in them, a list of contacts with @deemable.com addresses, a bunch of documents from my Google Drive, obviously, and the next Deemable planning meeting on my calendar.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it basically helps you organize all of it or make it searchable.
Mm-hmm. From basically one location.
That is really fantastic. Yeah. I like that. The app is available on what?
It's available on Android and iTunes, or okay. iPhone. So,
how much does it cost?
Well, it is $3.99.
I've never heard that before, so it's... I don't think Sean liked that joke. But... so, it is free.
Yes, it's free.
Oh, that's great.
And that laughter felt very forced, Sean.
And that is Cloud Magic. I'm going to actually get that because that sounds fantastic. I'm going to do it after the show.
All right.
But that's cool. How long have you been using it?
Just about a week.
A week?
Yeah.
And have you found it to be useful?
Yeah. On those occasions where I'm like, what? Where did this go? You know? Yeah.
All right.
It does its job.
Well, hey, we normally don't do this, but I wanted to talk about an article that I read.
Okay.
With some useful information on it for iOS users. It's from Lifehacker. They are a fantastic site for tweaking and playing with your toys and working with software and productivity, too, is one of the things they're great at. But this was top 10 handy iOS tweaks that don't require jailbreaking. Now, we've talked about this on the show plenty of times that with iOS or the operating system that runs iPhones and iPads, you can't modify them. You're pretty much stuck with the way that, you know, they used to say
the way that Steve Jobs intended it.
That's exactly where I was going. Yep. The way it was intended by the Jobs. because they try to make things simple.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks that prefer Android, you know, they want to be able to customize it. And the only way you can do that, for the most part, is through jailbreaking, which is where you make the operating system to where you can do what you want to
right.
with it. And that's really more for the tech inclined.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, of course, pay someone to jailbreak it for you, and then you have access to all these things. But these 10, which I'm not going to go through all 10, just the ones that I actually thought were good. These 10 you can do without jailbreaking your phone.
Oh, nice.
And a lot of people don't know about these. The one that I really liked was there's a little trick that you can do to see the actual signal strength of the cell phone in your menu bar.
Nice.
So right now on the iPhone and actually most devices in the top left corner, you see a little bars.
Yeah,
you know, one, four bars.
Right.
And it doesn't really tell you anything, though. It's just like, well, this is kind of how much reception
you have. More bars, I have less bars.
Yeah. But if you're actually interested in the accuracy of how much signal you have, you can see the actual decibels on your phone.
Huh.
The way you do it is you dial a phone number.
Really?
Into the, yeah, it's really not terribly crazy. but the way that most phones were programmed before the iPhone came out is to get into a certain command function, you would dial a number and hit pound star.
Sure.
And it was like star, the number, pound star. And that's exactly what this is. It's the same kind of trick. It's you dial star 3001 pound 1234 pound star on your iPhone and then press call. Doesn't matter what carrier you're on. It doesn't have any impact on that. But then you'll enter, it goes into field test mode. And that's where you'll actually see the decibel rating for your signal strength on there.
Oh, okay.
And what's nice is you can flip it back and forth between the decibels and the bars.
Oh, very neat.
So, again, we'll include a link to the show note in our show notes showing you how to do it if it's something you want to do. But it shows a negative number because decibels are rated in negatives.
Oh, okay.
So the closer you get to zero, the better.
Hmm.
And it was really interesting. I was going around my house checking it, and all the places where I know I get bad signal, you could see it drop
nice.
Drastically. So, like,
so
in
like
the
confirmation,
bathroom.
I'm not crazy.
Yeah, it really was nice. which I've always noticed that the bars go down, but I
yeah.
was like, I would really like to actually measure it. And there is a 10 decibel difference between the kitchen, which is the second worst place in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And the bathroom. The bathroom is the worst place in the house for cell phone signal because I've actually missed calls in the bathroom before.
Wow.
But, yeah, and it's a 98 in the bathroom, negative 98. It's negative 89 in the kitchen, so not as bad. In the rest of the house, it runs in the 80s.
Hmm.
And actually, we've talked about it here, about how this is a dead zone.
It is.
It is negative 104 right now. On Sprint here in the studio. It is a regular old, what's it, Faraday cage.
Yep.
For our physics nerds who know what a Faraday cage is. A couple other ones that I did really like was you can hide your apps from your home screen.
Okay.
There are certain stock apps that come with Apple iOS that you just can't get rid of. Newsstand is one of them. Also, the stock app, the weather app.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I use the Weather Channel's app, personally. I like it. There's also WeatherBug. And I never use the stock iOS weather app, but you can't get rid of it.
It's just eating up that real estate.
Right. It's just taking up space on your screen, especially Newsstand, because I just don't read magazines on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. I do on my iPad, but not on my iPhone. So this little trick, you just go to a website and you download an app. The app download doesn't work. But then when you go, you'll see it says stock hide instead of stocks.
Hmm.
And then you go to delete that app and it disappears off your screen.
Wow.
Nice part is it is also reversible. So if you want to bring it back, you can.
Okay, that's important.
So that's one thing I really like. What was the other ones? There's a little trick you can do to integrate non-stock apps to where like you could use Siri to go to Google Maps.
Okay.
It's a little tricky, and it's really not that big of a shortcut, so don't bother wasting our time on that.
Okay.
But it does show you, the in the top 10 things, how to make custom ringtones, which a lot of folks don't know.
Oh, fun.
Also, one thing that I really like is backing up everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's important.
When you back up your iPhone, it doesn't actually back up the data, like your music and the apps and the videos. It just keeps your settings.
Oh, okay.
So this will allow you to back up your entire phone to where if something happens to it, you can, boom, copy everything right back like that. Because what happens is generally when you have to restore your iPhone, you have to re-download all those apps, all that music, all those videos.
Yeah.
Which, it's in the iCloud, so you're not losing it, but it's just a pain to have to download it across your internet connection when you can already have it saved on your computer and just copy it over.
Nice.
But there's an app called Phone Disk, and you do a little command line entries, and it copies everything back. So it's a bit more advanced. But it is awesome.
It's still good to know that stuff's out there.
Yeah. And there's also some information about how to customize your home screen, tethering your data connection, unlocking your iPhone, and also one of my favorites, creating contact-specific vibrations.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll vibrate differently based on who's calling you. So all these things you can do on your iOS device without jailbreaking it. So it's a little bit safer to do.
Yeah.
Won't void your warranty.
You know, it's funny. I haven't read this article, but I think I know how to do all these things on my Android without rooting it.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured you'd go there. You couldn't just leave it alone.
No, I couldn't.
No, I have tons of respect for Android because of the customization that you can do on it. But honestly, I had WebOS. I always say this.
Mm-hmm.
It was just as much as customizable as Android. But honestly, the payoff was I didn't get as good an experience.
Mm-hmm.
I have loved my iPhone, even though I know there's some things that I can't do on my iPhone that I could do with my Android phone if I had one. There's also plenty of apps that I have that you don't have.
That's true.
Plenty as in more than twice as many apps.
Yeah. They always come out on iPhone first.
The payout.
You know what? That's so discriminatory.
So if you're a real geek or a gadget lover, you have to have one of each.
That's right.
Well, we got anything else?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, you know what? It is nice not being on a clock. No rush to go to a break. No rush to get the closing in before the end of the hour. But we still have to wrap up this show because we're out of stuff.
You know, Ray, this is producer Sean Birch here.
Yeah.
I just have to tell you, you guys have said several times that this is a mini-sode.
Mm-hmm.
Where
are we at now?
I think we're about an hour in, so I just wanted to let you know.
This is what happens when we go off the rails. We can talk for hours.
Man.
We're always stressed out when we're on the clock, you know? We're always like, oh, we gotta get all this stuff in. And, you know, hey. Well.
You're wasting bits, Ray.
I know it. Well, folks, thanks for all your emails, and keep them coming. Email us at questions@deemable.com, or better yet, call us. We love your phone calls. We love to hear your voices.
We love to hear your pretty voices.
And tell us what your tech problems are. Give us a call at 904-372-3336. And of course, subscribe to our show. Go to iTunes, search for Deemable Tech, or point your favorite podcast app to dmbl.co/pod. Our producer is Sean Birch. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And this is Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening and have a great week. Support for Deemable Tech is provided by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com, and by A. Edelson LLC, simple, green, technology consulting, on the web at aedelson.com, and by Jack's Computer Guys, providing desktop and laptop service for all of Northeast Florida, on the web at jackscomputerguys.com.
I'm a guy. We love to hear your pretty voices.